pastors is always hard because the Sunday when we're getting spiritual refreshment or others in the church are, we're also working, serving. So we do need physical and emotional and spiritual rest and refreshment. And even, I suppose, the Old Testament, the Sabbath year, with the yes. fields were...
So it's not just the 1 day and seven, is it? That pattern is extended more widely.
And I think all of that is saying, actually, stop what you're doing and let the Lord take over and replenish you and refresh you.
Welcome to Independence. That's the FIEC podcast. My name is Adrian Reynolds. I'm the head of National Ministries. The FIEC. One day I'll discover what that means. Not quite sure yet, but it does mean that I'm here on the podcast with Neil and Liz Turton. Hello, Neil. Hello, Liz.
Hello.
Hello, Adrian.
Thanks so much for coming from Long Crendon, which sounds kind of villagey. Is that right? Just tell us a little bit about Long Crendon and the kind of place, kind of church. Just fill us in a little.
Yeah, Long Crendon. If you've heard of or seen Midsummer Murders, that's one of the places where it's filmed.
I resolved this morning when I was chatting to Celia, my wife. I said, I'm not going to mention Midsummer Murders because I'm sure they get fed up with Midsummer Murders being mentioned. But you've done it, so that's okay.
I thought I'd get it in the first, before you did.
Okay.
It's a large village. It's close to Oxford. It's from where people commute into London or the Midlands. So it's quite well connected.
Right, okay. And tell us a bit more about the church, Liz.
Yes, we're a fairly large church, got quite a large team. So we have three pastors, a youth and children's worker. I'm the women's worker there. And we have two admin staff as well.
And you've got a lovely building. It's an old building, isn't it? The front of it, very old. But you've done some lovely work on it. Well, that's a different podcast. But just the building is old, isn't it? It's kind of an old chapel.
Yeah, the
I
original
guess.
Chapel is mid-19th century. We had a big building renovation project, which was 8 years ago.
Okay.
So it's really transformed it in terms of what we can do with it midweek. It's
been and we hold, when we have local conferences around the country, we hold a local conference there. We're always happy to come. Long Crendon, nice place to come to. Nice building nice food.
Good lunch.
Good lunch, that's
good
right.
Lunch, good lunch. Great. It's always good to invite the community in as well. So we have various groups that meet in the Horticultural Society.
Yeah, so you're right there in the centre of the village, aren't you? It's great, exactly. Great location. And we're here to talk about sabbaticals today. Mm-hmm. So you've just had a sabbatical. Did both of you have a sabbatical? We often think about, the pastor having a sabbatical, but you both work for the church. Did you both have a sabbatical?
We did this time, actually. Okay. Yeah, it was, I suppose, when we had our last sabbatical, when Neil had his last sabbatical, our children were at such an age that they were at school and wanted to carry on doing the normal things. So I didn't then, but this time we both had one, which was very welcomed and good.
Okay, we'll come to the detail of what you did in just a moment. Let's just talk about sabbaticals in general. And one of the narratives I think I hear a lot, and I see it in myself post-COVID, is that those in leadership in the local church, those serving in a local church, are just very, very tired. I think this is a personal reflection. I think COVID tired me more than I thought it would. I thought actually, just sitting around doing much less than I normally do, much less traveling than I normally do, but actually learning new stuff, ministering in a different way, all those things are certainly emotionally draining, if not physically draining. Was that kind of your experience as well in terms of going into this?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think the last sabbatical we had was 8 years ago. And I think during that time...
In the same church or where we were?
Same church.
Same church, okay.
And during that time, there's been just a lot of pressures, different types of pressure, sort of personal loss, loss within the church family. There's been different staffing issues to deal with. We've had changes, constitutional changes, things like that. And then on top of all that, there's COVID. So by the end of all that, we were just
I'm trying to
quite
forget
exhausted.
COVID, aren't you? It is there. It sort of looms in the background, doesn't it?
Exactly.
And do you think there's, I wonder, I'm not sure I'm not sure this is actually precise, but I often think about myself having a kind of a spiritual tank, a physical tank, and an emotional tank as well. And maybe those aren't the right labels, but I know what to do to recharge my spiritual tank. I know the kind of means of grace and the things I need to be doing. I know what to do to recharge my physical tank, but actually that emotional tank, we don't really talk about that very much. I find that quite difficult to recharge that. Is that kind of your experience as well, Liz? Or how does it work for you?
Yeah, I would definitely say so. And I think the time before we took the sabbatical, I'd reached a point, kind of in my ministry, I suppose, where I did feel really tired in all those aspects. Yeah. And just to have that time out was really good. And a 1 week holiday, which we did have last October, didn't seem to do it in the same way. As having a 3-month break.
So people search in vain, don't they, for sabbaticals in the New Testament? Don't really read about them in the pastorals, I don't think, unless I've missed some of the chapters of 1 Timothy. What do you think, Neil, is a kind of our Christian basis, our biblical basis for taking rest? How does that fit in with our understanding of work and rest, do you think?
I think we're human. We're weak. We're finite creatures. We're not meant to be able to do everything like Jesus could. And even he was human, so he had the human weaknesses as well. Yeah. So we are expected to depend on the Lord. We're not meant to be those who are cracking on in our own strength. And I think that's one of the dangers of ministry, that you do just keep cracking on, and God is gracious. Mm. He sustains us.
And there's a kind of guilt complex associated with that, isn't it? That actually, if I'm not cracking on, people will be thinking, well, perhaps this is revealing more about myself, but people will be thinking, oh, what's he doing, you know?
Yeah, no, there's a lot of that. There's pressure goes with it, isn't there?
You that's right.
Sort of trying almost to perform, if you like, which is obviously not what we're meant to be doing as ministers. So, so I think biblically, you know, it goes back to the Sabbath day, doesn't it? We're meant to have a day of rest. That's physical rest as well as spiritual refreshment. For pastors, it's always hard because the Sunday when we're getting spiritual refreshment, or others in the church are, we're also working, serving. So we do need physical and emotional and spiritual rest and refreshment. And even, I suppose, the Old Testament, you know, the Sabbath year, you know, with the fields.
It's not just the one day in seven, is it? Pattern is extended more widely.
And I think all of that is saying, actually, stop what you're doing and let the Lord take over and replenish you and refresh you.
Now, we can't ignore COVID. Did you have this break plan pre-COVID? Was it delayed? Was it just as a result of COVID? How did it fit into that whole timescale, Liz?
So I think we started planning, didn't we, or thinking about it, that it was coming up. And in fact, it was interesting. We weren't quite sure what to do. Neil, as I said, had a sabbatical 8 years ago, which was very different. We were at a very different stage at church. And it was actually somebody in our congregation who'd actually said to us, what do you find energises you? And I suppose we hadn't thought of it like that. And from that point, we started thinking about, well, actually, for us to travel does energise us, and to, you know, kind of do something completely different. So I suppose that's what kind of got us started, really, wasn't it?
And sorry, go on, Neil.
Yeah, I suppose what we were thinking of originally was, let's travel. We want to get away, change of scene. It's really hard, isn't it, when you're in the same place where you're living and working, to really switch off and get that downtime. So we thought, let's travel, but let's do something useful with that travel. So originally we were going to go away to Central Asia, spend some time visiting the local, the persecuted church. We were going to go on from there to India to visit some missionaries, and then go on to Bali to visit our son, who we hadn't seen since pre-lockdown. COVID put a stop to that. That cancelled the Central Asia trip and the India trip. So we went for plan B, didn't we, which actually turned out to be quite a good plan B, really.
Okay. Let's come to plan B in just a moment. But let's say what it wasn't, first of all. So it wasn't a kind of a three-month study program to complete your PhD. You obviously decided that wasn't the kind of break you needed. Because that often is what people think about. You know, I've got a three-month sabbatical. I've got to fit as much input into it as I can. And it sounds like you were planning things, but you weren't planning huge amounts of input. Is that a fair assessment?
I think that's fair. It's interesting because it was different from the last sabbatical.
Okay, tell us, contrast those.
Yeah,
us.
That was very much input. Right. So it came at a time, I'd been at the church 9 years. The senior pastor there was retiring. So it was a sort of entering into a new stage of ministry and being equipped and prepared for that. So I had 3 months, which was crammed full of reading, studying, doing a module in biblical counselling, visiting other churches and pastors, and almost feeling I had to cram as much as
I could. And did that work for you? Or did you look back on it?
But it didn't allow me to rest.
Okay. Well, that is quite interesting, isn't it? Because actually, you know, the whole idea of Sabbath is not just doing something different, is it? It is about rest.
Yeah.
And I mean, different people rest in different ways, right? So we can't say there's one way to do this. But were you thinking about that when you were planning this time around? We've got to get some recharge, really.
Yeah.
Is that fair, Liz?
Yeah, definitely. And I think that was part of the thinking behind actually getting away from Longcrandon.
Right, okay.
When you're at home, there's still things to do.
Yeah, it is very difficult, isn't it? I mean, some people can switch off, but I personally find it very difficult to switch off when the things are right there in front of you.
Yeah, and getting away from That sounds awful, but getting away from people.
Right.
You know, we love our congregation.
You've given me a list of names here that people who wanted to get away from. I know what you mean. Yes, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, and it's because we love our people, right? Yeah. We love to serve them. We love to see them flourish. So it's very difficult to be amongst those people that you're there to serve without serving. That's a really difficult thing to make work. And I think that's a caution, isn't it? That actually, if you're hoping to rest, you do need to be a certain personality to be able to stay at home and do that.
Yeah.
I think for a lot of people, you've got to get away.
Yeah. We also had at the time when we took the sabbatical, a lady in our congregation, 41, who was dying of terminal cancer. And I'd been visiting a lot and I suppose walking alongside her and her mother during that time. So actually that was really hard to not be around. But actually, if we'd been in Longcrendon, that would have been harder to have not... Mm. Stepped in and
so did other people take up the mantle there. So it's interesting those situations. Yeah. Other people do step up, don't they?
Yeah, no, that's right.
And help out. And in some ways, you learn to leave people with the Lord.
Yeah,
that's also itself a good discipline, isn't it?
Yeah,
in terms of what we do. Now let's come to the crunch then. Tell us what you did. You've hinted at a bit of travel. You did it in a slightly unusual way. Your travel, which I'm insanely jealous of. Which is it's just as well that jealousy isn't a sin, or is it? Anyway. So tell us about the van. I want to hear about the van. Who's going to tell us the story of the van?
Well, the van. God's timing was perfect, and our middle son.
I've discovered that. By the way. Yes, that's
good. Yeah. He was doing product design and was meant to have a year in industry.
Right.
With COVID, he hadn't been able to find that, and so he decided to take a year out. And he'd always wanted to convert a van to a camper van, so he spent the year doing that. It was actually finished, or just about finished, end of February.
Okay.
Which we were due our sabbatical March time. So we suddenly thought, we could maybe use that. And
so you really have been on a road trip in a camper van. And I've seen some of the pictures from various places that you've been. It did look, I mean, it's not everyone's idea of a rest, is it? Some people would be extremely stressful. Did you get on well in your camper van? Was it?
Amazingly,
was this the first time in a camp? Was it the first thing?
It was the first time.
Okay, so you were learning as you went.
Yeah.
Okay, and what were some of the highlights of being away in such a small confined space?
We were really blessed with the weather. So,
okay, well, that helped.
March time, March, April.
Okay, so it could have been miserable.
Could have been really miserable. Could have been cold, but we did some amazing walks around the coastline, up in the mountains of Scotland. Saw some real beautiful. Parts of God's creation in this country. It is a spectacular country. We sometimes take it for granted, don't we? We had a great time together, and it was just great having that freedom. So you could just stop off somewhere. We were travelling up through Wales on the way to Liverpool, and we thought, I've never actually been to Chester. Why don't we just go and have a little look around Chester? So you could do that sort of thing, have the freedom to do it.
And did you find that being in a setting essentially so different from normal life was a help? Because, you know, you're in a camper van. I mean, we've got a caravan, so we kind of go away in it quite a lot. But actually, one of the things I like about it is it's so different from normal life. Although there is some familiarity. You do take your own duvet.
Yeah,
so it does feel like it's still home. But it does feel so different. I think that helps me with a break. Did you find that as kind of going away?
Yes, definitely.
It's basically the same size as your bathroom at home.
Exactly.
So, you know, you're in this sort of space.
Yeah.
And what about, so you went, did a bit of Wales, did a bit of Scotland. Did you go abroad in it?
No, it was all around the UK.
It's all around the UK.
Okay. So we headed down to Dorset, down to Devon, Cornwall, up the other side of Cornwall, into Wales, to Liverpool, Lake District, Scotland, over to Northern Ireland, back to Scotland, up to the north of Scotland.
It really is a tour.
Down the outside of the coast,
But King Charles does that in a plane, but you seem to have done it in a camper van, which is very commendable, I think.
But we had some nice comfort stops along the way, didn't we? So we visited various people who we had known. Some people from our church who'd moved away, some previous people who worked in the church. So people now serving as pastors in different places, which is wonderful to go and visit them and just encourage them, be encouraged by what's going on in their parts. Other church members who'd moved away. Lovely to see them and have a nice
So you had your list of potential stop-off points.
Which was great.
And what did you do about church while you were away? Because that's often a thing. So I find it quite difficult to go to church when I'm away because it just makes me feel like I'm at work again. So I have to find a way to do that carefully. How did you manage that when you were away in terms of church attendance?
Yeah, we did organise Sundays, didn't we? So as part of the five-week tour. So first Sunday we were down in Cornwall with Colin Wells and his family down in Scoria. Yes. Lovely to be with
them.
Yeah,
who used to be at Long Grendon, we'll say exactly. That for people.
The next Sunday we were at Mount Pleasant in Swansea with Steve Levy.
Yeah.
Who'd spoke at one of our church weekends away, so we knew Steve. And also there's a couple there who, their daughter and family are our church.
Okay.
And they'd come to visit.
So there's connections there.
Sometimes said to them, come and stay with us, you know, when you're in Wales. So we thought, okay, well, we will.
We'll see whether they really meant
and
it.
Were you able to go along to church and just drink it in? Because sometimes I think, we could do that. Or we could sing that song. Or, look what they're doing with their toddler group. Or we know those sorts of things. How do you, and suddenly you're at work again. So how do you guard against that kind of thing? Is that depending on your personality, do you think? Or how did that work for you both?
I think there was a little bit of that, wasn't there?
Yeah.
But they were times of encouragement as well.
Yeah.
We had a night with our youth worker, his parents up in Liverpool. And it was lovely to hear about their toddler group and to compare notes and the women's ministry. And that was a real encouragement. We weren't actually with them for a Sunday. So I suppose that was slightly different. But it was good to kind of go to church, to be able to sort of worship freely without, you know, all the stuff behind that. Yeah. But
you didn't have to arrive an hour before to sort out the chairs and all the things that pastors seem to have to do. Yes. And
it's funny because, when you are in part of a service, it's a little bit, so obviously you're aware of you're picking up all the time.
Of course.
And you're thinking, I like the way they do that. You know, maybe we should focus a bit more on that aspect of the service, whether that's the dismissal, the sort of going into the week, something like that, you know, just a little thing you pick up.
So actually, you are getting input, aren't you?
Yeah.
And it's quite interesting that, because I think in those sort of settings, you're getting input, but not in an overly formalized way that can actually be draining in and of itself. Actually, you come back not just refreshed in yourself, but you do come back with ideas, don't you? You do come back with thinking, what about this? What about that?
And just chatting to the pastors as well. It's like, interesting. Why did you do that? And just hearing a bit about their history and how the church has grown. And again, it's doing it in a nice, encouraging way. It's an informal, relaxed way over, you know, coffee or lunch or something. So it's, you're taking input at the same time.
Now, million-dollar question, does the camper van still exist?
Did it get
sold off?
Well, it's only just been sold. It was a bit of a sad day.
So campervansforthelord.com is not happening just yet. But
well, our son did buy a minibus, which he then converted, which is still on our drive.
Okay, that's not so good.
But not so good. And I think there's another one coming as well.
Okay, so it is turning into an industry. Now, that was a five-week block. Was that the entirety of the sabbatical, or were there other bits and pieces of it as well?
Sorry, go on.
Yeah, so we had 2 weeks at home after the road trip, where we were trying to sort out our trip to Bali to see our eldest son.
Yep.
We had problems with passports and all sorts of things. So that was going to be a family reunion. So in the end, it just turned out to be me and Neil and our middle son. And we went out to Bali, spent 3 weeks with Ben, who we hadn't seen for 2.25 years.
Great. So that was a happy reunion.
That was a lovely time. So,
I've not been to Bali. Worth a visit?
Definitely.
Yes. Yeah. I can see the glint in the eye. I think you want to go back to Bali quite quickly, it looks like.
I mean, even in Bali, we sort of thought, okay, which church do we go to in Bali?
Yeah.
So you look online, you can do that these days, can't you? And we did find one, which we thought, actually, that looks like it's worth paying a visit to. It was, I suppose, a bit international, but American-led, but very similar to an FIC church in many ways. Mm. Good teaching, good time of worship. So, we went there the Sundays. So it was great. Yeah.
And tell me a bit, both of you, about how the church kind of viewed your sabbatical. Did you have any pushback, or were people generally supportive? I mean, you talked about the person that said, you know, what are you doing to recharge? Was the church generally supportive and behind you in it?
Yeah, it was. I think particularly probably because of what we've gone through over last few years, there was no sense of pushback at all, really. It was, we would encourage you to do that. We think it'd be good for you. I think they recognise that actually, you know, if we're not in a good place, if we're not healthy, then the church is going to...
Which is important, isn't it? I think lots of churches don't recognise that. I think they just want to get their pound of flesh. I mean, they might not express it like that, but it feels a bit like that. And actually, for churches to know that if their leaders are in a good place, that's a blessing to them. That's really important, isn't it, Liz?
Definitely.
Yeah. And you had other members of staff who could step in and cover things, I guess, didn't you? And then you came back to the summer. Mm-hmm. So actually you came back to not day one, I've got to do 50 things. Was it planned that way, or did it just happen that way?
It happened that way, but actually... it was actually coming back, wasn't it? And it was full on from the word go.
Okay.
Yeah, we had a funeral, I think the first week, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And yeah, it was busy from the word go.
Do you still feel the benefit of that break, or do you think it dissipates quite quickly?
I do feel the benefit. I think probably differently from a holiday. I think when you go away for a two-week holiday, you come back and you've had a break and it's great. But
And you just get on with it then.
Get on with it. I think with a sabbatical, what you're doing, I suppose, is just renewing your sense of joy in the Lord. You're reminded of the privilege it is to serve. I think you're renewing your love for the people. So all those things that you take for granted, and you maybe just worn you down, you've lost a bit of love for people, you've just become a bit tired. You've lost your spiritual fervor in many ways. So I think that's what changes, that you've got a new sense of joy and desire to serve and love God's people and appreciate them. Yep. So I think that's the thing that lasts, I suppose, after a sabbatical. Yeah.
And I think that was definitely so this time because, I think being away from the church family, we really missed them. And so it was lovely.
Well, that's confirming in a way, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, you're in the right place.
Yeah.
Here are the people that you love.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, that's really helpful. And how do you think, looking back, you could have done it differently or even better? What you know, on reflection now, how might it have served you even better in the church, even better? Are there things you would have done differently, or are you pretty content with how it all went?
I think we were pretty content, really, weren't we, with how it went? I think I'm not sure we could have done it better in the circumstances. No, I think we got the rest we needed. We did some reading as well, but it wasn't sort of pressurized reading. I've got to get through all these books.
Okay.
We got through what we could.
What sort of things were you reading? And were you reading together or independently, or how did you kind of make that work? In a small space? You only so many books you can take away.
Well, I know, Actually, the cupboard in the camper van was crushed with the weight of them. So,
you wore the same clothes every day just so you could take away extra books.
There was quite a variety of things, really. There's this old classic I read, Thomas Kempis, The Imitation of Christ.
Oh, yes, yeah.
And then at the other end, there was Mes McConnell's book, The Least, The Last, and The Lost. And everything in between, really. One on Dying Well by John Wyatt. There's a variety of things, really. And
So you didn't have a sort of project, I've got to read around this topic, or you could do a bit more relaxed than that, it sounds like.
Yeah, it's just looking at the books on my shelf that I haven't read or read for a long time, of which there's quite a few, and I took a few of those with me. Yeah,
and was it just Christian stuff you were doing, or were there sort of, I don't know, are you readers? Do you read other stuff? You know, were you... You know, catching up on the latest series of The Crown, or, you know, what were you doing other stuff like that?
I normally do quite a lot of reading, and actually I did take a pile of books, but I didn't really end up doing that much reading in the end. A couple of the books I did read were, I suppose, a bit more topical for stuff that I was doing. So I read one on domestic abuse and another one on a couple who had lost their three-year-old son. Okay. So it was a bit heavier, some of those reads. I also read the Mes McConnell book as well. So I had planned to read some non-Christian books, but I didn't really. I had this thing when, in the evenings in the camper van, we'd kind of have dinner, we'd probably play a couple of games, and then think, like, okay, we'll read. And I had this thing where I couldn't quite get comfortable. So then I'd get the
bed out. The secrets of the camper van are being fully revealed.
Yeah, and then I'd find that I was, not staying
Nodding
awake
off.
For
yes,
very long.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Well, why not? I think that's, you know, you can sleep. And we mustn't underestimate, must we, just the value of rest in and of itself. I mean, there are things we can do to recharge, and they're important, and things that we can do to revitalize ourselves in ministry, and the things that we read or people we visit. But actually, we've, as Christians, and this is kind of going back to the Sabbath stuff, we've really got to value rest.
Yeah.
And that we're not, you know, Margaret Thatcher working 4 hours a night and thinking that's, 4 hours sleep a night, and just thinking that anybody who needs more than that is a wimp. You know, we really value rest, don't we? And actually, there's an important place for that in Christian ministry.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, that was never, you know... there's always something to do, isn't there, in Christian ministry?
That's right, yeah.
So you never end up of having completed all your to-do list. There's always somebody else to visit, another phone call to make, another book to read, something to prepare for. And the danger is, we just keep cracking on, and we think, well, the Lord has sustained us. And then the temptation is to think, actually, I can cope with this. You know, I'm strong, I'm doing it in my strength, and whatever is thrown at my way, I'll cope with it. But yeah, we are under a spiritual attack. You know, as church leaders, the devil is trying to bring us down. That's the way he gets to the church, isn't it? So if we think we don't need rest, he will come at us.
And so, can I just ask you some practical things? But people who will be listening, some who will be watching, perhaps thinking about a sabbatical, you know, they might have lots of practical questions. Did you do things like disconnect church emails and stuff like that? Or was all that still live when you were away? What sort of practical steps did you take to guard yourself?
That's a good question. Yes, we both did come off our emails, didn't we? And WhatsApp groups.
Okay, you were still on Facebook, I saw that.
The WhatsApp group was a difficult one. So I was still stayed on our women's Bible study one. So I'd look into that. The other ones I archived, which was fine to start with. And then I have to say I did sneak a few looks in.
Did you? What made you sneak a few looks, Liz? Can I ask you that question?
I think there were a couple of things that came up on the women's WhatsApp group that made me think, oh, I'll just check that. In fact, actually, it was our toddler group as well.
Okay. And did you tell Neil you were doing that? Or were you sneaking in while he was in the toilet block?
No, I didn't tell him because I knew he would have told me off.
So it is important, isn't it, actually, to take practical steps?
Yeah.
Because otherwise you don't get the break that you need. No, I mean, obviously there are some things you still need to stay in contact with. If you have particularly sick members, I guess, or things like that, you want to know what's happening, don't you? But you do need to make a break, don't you, in order for it to work.
And our elders were very good. You know, they deliberately didn't include me in things, even in the WhatsApp elders group. Yeah, you know, they would keep me out of that if it was something which was going to play on my mind or cause me not to get the rest I needed. And the church, you know, were praying for us. And it was lovely to know that they were praying for us, that we would get the rest and refreshment we needed.
How much did you involve the church in letting them know, you know, what you were doing and what you were planning, thinking of the elders as well? Or did you just say, you know, here's this block of time, we'll go away and do with it what we want to do with it? Was that kind of a, you know, did you seek counsel? Was there a dialogue there? Or was it kind of they were just happy to let you run with it and use the time as you wanted?
Yeah, well, the elders, we discussed it for some time. So originally, it would have been 7 years the year before, but because of COVID, because of the staffing situation, that time wasn't right. So they were aware that it would be trying to do it at the time was right. So yeah, I talked about it with them. They helped me sort of think through what would be good for us. So they were behind all that. And then the church, I suppose really letting them know what we're doing so that they could also then pray for us, giving them a once warning of when it was going to happen. Giving them the detail of what we're going to be doing.
I think it also felt, I don't normally put lots of pictures on my Facebook page, but it felt like, you know, the church family had allowed us to go away and it would be good to just keep them in touch with what we were doing.
Yeah, that's really helpful. Yeah. Because they, you know, they want you to flourish as well, don't they?
Yeah.
You know, they're not begrudgingly let you go. They want, they realise that actually you flourishing and as leaders in the church is going to benefit them as well. So would you do it all again? What's interesting is, I think, Liz, what you've described especially is that the last sabbatical that Neil had was a different season of life for you. And I guess 7 years' time could be a different season again, you know, in terms of where we are in life and ministry. So I think, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but it sounds like you're saying, actually, you've got to reflect on where you are in life. You can't have a set pattern and say, this is it. It's got to, in some measure, reflect, you know, the responsibilities that you have maybe towards parents or towards children or siblings or whatever it may be. It's getting a break from the church, that kind of the church work that seems important. Is that a fair assessment? So I'm not going to hold you to a camper van in 7 years' time. You might need something a bit more luxurious in 7 years' time. You're anything like me.
We did see a few very luxurious camper vans, didn't we?
Well, my daughter keeps sending me links for £1 million camper vans, which is on Channel 5, I think. She thinks this is going to be the next stage. I don't know what she thinks the money's going to come from, but there we are. Listen, guys, thank you very much for coming in. It's been a real pleasure just to chat with you and just to hear your story, really. I guess everybody's story is going to be different. But I mean, it sounds like we're saying, you know, you've got to be thinking about your circumstances. You've got to be thinking about what's going to help you, what's going to recharge you. There's no one size fits all. It sounds like your break has done you a lot of good. And I'm very grateful for that, as I'm sure you are. And I'm sure the church will be blessed by it. So thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
And we'll put some of the books that you talked about, we'll put the links in the bottom of the podcast so people can follow those through if they're interested. Thanks for joining us, Neil and Liz. I'm Adrian Reynolds, Head of National Ministries at the FIC, and this is the Independence Podcast. You can subscribe through all the normal channels, and you can like us even if you want, and we'll see you, or we'll talk to you next time. Thanks.
Thank you.